And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today, Quiet Street, was written by Mark Siegel and adapted from the novel of the same name by Zelda Popkin.
The calendar on my wall reads 1953, and the sounds which float in from the quiet street on which I live here in Jerusalem are the sounds of 1953. Sounds of buildings. Sounds of children playing. To you, the sounds may not seem extraordinary, but for me, Edith Hirsch, they fill our quiet street with music. Sometimes I wonder why we call this a quiet street. Jacob, my husband, says it's because the sounds of living can't be considered noise. But I think there's an inner quiet here. Quietness of the spirit. Maybe it comes from knowing that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. You see, here on this quiet street and 1,000 other streets just like it, 5 years ago, Israel was born. Nothing, not even a nation, can be born without pain. That's what Jacob's always said. He should know. He's an obstetrician. I think I realized he was right the first time. And the morning Dina left. It was in December, 1947.
Mother, please don't look so upset.
I'm not upset, Dina.
Then why don't you say something to me?
What is there to say?
Dina.
Yes, Father.
You'll understand when you're older, when you have children of your own, and one morning one says, just like that, well, today's the day I'm leaving for the Negev.
But you've known I was going for so long.
Of course. I'm sorry, darling.
Come. It's time. I'll walk you to the corner.
Dina, take care of yourself.
Don't worry, Mother.
I'll try not to, darling.
Tell Teddy to be a good boy while I'm away.
All right, Dina. I'll tell him when he wakes up.
And the dog, Mother. Please take care of him.
Dina, that's enough goodbyes. You'll be late.
I'm coming, Father.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Mother.
I stood in the doorway, listened to the birds in the tall pines, and watched my daughter and my husband walk down our quiet street. At the corner, Jacob stuffed a small package into her knapsack. In a moment, he was back.
Come now, Edith. What else would you have her do?
Nothing, Jacob. But she's still so young.
She's 17. She's old enough to know the land needs
her. She's in the land right here. Why must she give up everything she's used to?
The Negev needs farmers, Edith.
Is she going as a farmer, Jacob?
Of course. She's been training for a year.
As a farmer, Jacob?
Of course, as a farmer.
Then what was the package you put into her knapsack?
The package, going-away gift, that's all.
What kind of going-away gift?
The best I could give her. Let's have some breakfast.
Jacob, what was it?
Edith, be sensible.
I'd rather know. I can face things better if I know.
All right, Edith, if you insist, I'll tell you what you know already. My gift to Dina was a gun.
That was how it started. A gun for Dina. Do you know what we call our children who were born here? Sabra. The name of the cactus fruit. Rough on the outside, but sweet within. Teddy's a Sabra, too. He's 13 now. But even then, you could tell he was a Sabra. A few months after Dina left, we were setting the table in our garden for Teddy's 8th birthday party.
When are the children coming, Mama?
In about half an hour, Teddy. We better hurry.
I'll help, Mama.
Good. You open the packages here. I'll put the candy and fruit at each setting.
These look yummy. Can I have one?
One. And now, maybe you better let me open that package.
Salted almonds. Mm-hmm. Chocolates. Oh, boy.
No, that's enough, Teddy. Shifra?
Yes, Mrs. Hirsch.
Shifra, please bring the tangerines and bananas out here, will you? They're on the sideboard.
Coming, Mrs. Hirsch.
Mama, there's one thing missing.
What, Teddy? I thought I had everything.
Not food, Mama. Dina. I wish Dina was here for my party.
Yes, Dina. Well, maybe for your next birthday party, darling.
Here they are, Mrs. Hirsch.
Thank you, Shifra.
Oh. They're shooting again, Mama.
Now, don't listen to the shooting, Teddy. Listen to the birds.
They're shooting right here.
Teddy, Shifra, into the house. Shifra, when it lets up, bring the food inside.
Yes, ma'am.
Mama.
No, don't cry, Teddy.
I'm not crying.
It's only a stray shot, darling.
I'm not crying about the shot.
Then what are you crying about, darling?
About my party. I don't want my party indoors, Mama. I want it in the garden.
Two days later, Nehemiah Mizrahi, the grocer's son, was killed in our quiet street. The following day, a guard at the hospital where Jacob worked was hit. It's hard to keep Teddy indoors all day. When a sniper lets go, his bullet isn't instructed to avoid children. We began to get used to the sound of rifle bursts. And one night, late in February, do you remember? Ben Yehuda Street. 44 men, women, and children dead. 150 gravely injured. The next morning, old Isaac Winkleman came walking slowly down the street towards our house.
Shalom, Winkleman.
Shalom, Doctor.
What can I do for you?
Dr. Hirsch, a man like you, you know the human being.
Well?
You know a person's happy only when he's sure he is worth something to the world.
Of course.
I am the unhappiest man in Jerusalem.
You, Winkleman? Why should you be unhappy?
Here we are making a nation. All I can do is sit in the sun in front of the cafe.
Whom do you hear complaining because you sit in the sun, a man of your age?
No one. I complain to myself.
Winkleman, be a little easier on yourself.
Doctor, is it true the storage place for our hospital blood was destroyed on Ben Yehuda Street?
Yes, it's true, but we'll get a new supply.
That is why I have come.
Oh, really, Isaac, from a man in his 80s, we'd hardly expect...
Why should only the young be asked to sacrifice? I have been to the synagogue. I have told my God what I wish to do. I have arranged my affairs.
What are you talking about, Michael?
From everyone, they are asking a little blood. I wish to give all I have. Whatever still runs in my veins.
Oh, Isaac, no one is asked to do that.
I can't go on being useless. You are an old friend. I thought you would arrange this for me.
Isaac, listen to me. Do what you always do. Sit every day in the sun before the cafe. That will mean more to us than you can ever know.
We tried to fool ourselves, to make believe that life was the same as it had always been. But in those months 5 years ago, each day, each hour changed the pattern of our lives. Shifra joined Haganah. There was no help in the house. Everyone had a defense job, even the children. They filled sandbags. Shopping became a dangerous business. We learned to run, to dodge bullets. Still, we tried not to think, not to listen.
I can't sleep, Mama.
No, try, Teddy. Just rest, then.
Was that last room where Daddy is?
No, darling, in another quarter entirely.
And why isn't he home?
He'll be home. He has a lot to do.
When will he come?
When he's finished, darling. Many people are sick.
You don't mean sick, Mama. You mean wounded.
Sometimes today, when the rations seem skimpy or the shopping's difficult, I think of how it was 5 years ago this month. That month of April when even in our quiet street, there was no longer the possibility of deceiving ourselves. Jerusalem was under siege.
It's yours, Mama. I won't eat it.
Take it, Teddy. I'm not hungry.
Mothers never are. That's what they say.
Please, Teddy, eat it. You have to grow.
All right. Mama, I hate the bakers.
Why, darling? Isn't the bread good?
It's very good. But why do they make it taste so good that you'll want more? When there is none, they should make it taste bad.
A bullet strikes only one out of many, but hunger hits all alike. By the middle of that April, even Udi, Dina's dog, was weak and listless. When I couldn't stand looking at him any longer, I walked into Jacob's office. Jacob, I want some chloroform.
Chloroform? Whom do you plan to kill, you or me?
Udi, we can't feed the dog. He's suffering too much.
Our drugs are too precious to use on a dog. Even Dina's dog.
Then shoot him.
Edith, bullets are precious, too. Udi will have to suffer. Just like everyone else.
Good morning. Could you do a favor for me?
Eh? What's that?
Well, could one of you leave your post for a few minutes?
But, lady, we're soldiers. We're on duty here.
I'd like one of you to come to my house and shoot my dog.
Shoot you? But why, ma'am?
We can't feed him. It's frightful to see.
Don't kill your dog. We'll feed him for you. Which house is it?
But, the big house. The one on the corner.
Well, now, don't you worry. We'll drop a packet by for him tonight.
Are you a magician, Edith? Where'd you find a tin of sardines?
The bean soup's yummy, Mama. It tastes like it had meat.
Edith, answer me. Have we won the road that we have such good food?
No, Jacob. I asked the British soldiers to shoot Udi. Instead, they brought some food for him.
Interesting. We used to feed our dog. Now our dog feeds us.
In the middle of April, a caravan entered Jerusalem. 17 miles of convoy, which had snaked through the hills. There was food in the lorries, 1,000 tons of it. We gave thanks on our quiet street. Even Ida Goldstein, whose son was killed in another convoy which didn't reach the city, gave thanks. For a few days, we had a little food. But by the beginning of May, we had a new problem.
Mama, there's no water.
The water lines to Jerusalem had been cut. Only the children were happy.
I don't have to brush my teeth.
Each afternoon, the water cart came into our quiet street. We darted out to get our family ration, a bucket a day to cover all use.
Give me your card, Mrs. Hirsch. It has to be punched.
But, Professor Gross, what are you doing on the water cart?
Dispensing water, naturally. Hold up your pail, please.
No, but your glasses. What's happened to your glasses?
Careful. We can't waste any of this. Oh. My glasses? Somehow, Mrs. Hirsch, this doesn't seem just the right time to be teaching philosophy.
Until the 14th of May, we didn't know for sure whether the state would be proclaimed or not. There is time now to remember. But then there was time only to run, time only to try to cheat the guns that barked from behind the gray walls of the old city. At 4 o'clock that afternoon, May 14th, most of our neighbors gathered in our living room. We owned a battery radio, the only working radio left on our quiet street.
Quiet, everyone. I think I have it.
Pay attention, Teddy. This you must remember as long as you live.
The land of Israel was the birthplace of the Jewish people.
It's Ben-Gurion.
Here their spiritual, religious, and national identity was formed. Here they achieved independence.
I listened to the simple words.
And created
and looked at my neighbors. Isaac Winkleman, who was willing to give his life's blood. Professor Gross, who doled out water on the shell-riddled streets. Jacob, who operated day and night by the light of sputtering carbide lamps. Ida Goldstein, who had given her son. And I thought, these words, we have helped to write them, each one of us on this quiet street. We,
We and Dina.
Mama.
What is it, Teddy?
Mama, aren't you happy?
Happy? Of course I'm happy.
Then why are you crying?
Edith, it's time to try to sleep. Maybe it'll be easier the first night we have a state.
Oh, Jacob, listen. Doesn't sound as if the Arabs know we have a state.
Let's try to get some rest anyway.
Jacob?
Yes, Edith?
Isn't there some way to find out how Dina is?
We have to wait, like everyone else.
I know. Jacob, I'm so worried.
Darling, she's safer in the Negev than we are here.
Sorry. Jerusalem women don't cry.
And I'm your doctor, and I give you permission.
Darling.
Good night.
Good night. Getting closer, Jacob.
Try any way to rest you.
That's on our feet, Jacob.
Well, as long as we can hear it, we're all... Edith, are you all right?
Yes. Teddy, where are you?
Here, Mama, here.
Help.
What happened?
They hit the house, darling. Help is
off. No matter, I... the office. We'll look tomorrow. Let's go to bed.
Mama, please, can I stay here with you?
Of course, baby. As long as you like. Always, Teddy. Does it seem unreal in 1953? It was unreal then. What began the week after our independence was proclaimed made what we've been through already seem like nothing. In our street, this street, there were no people, only silhouettes racing through a fog of dust, a hail of metal. But the will to live is strong. And somehow we survived. And in that week came the first letter from Dina in 3 months.
I am well, Mother. And I pray that you and Father and Teddy are. This letter is being flown to Jerusalem by Al Broding, an American volunteer. I hope you have the chance to meet him. I never knew anyone like him before. Well, take care of yourselves. And don't worry about me. We will hold on here. We will not give up what we have built.
Certain dates you don't forget. On June 11th, after 4 weeks of day and night shelling, firing stopped on both sides. We came out into our quiet, ruined street. Children began to play in the shell holes. The sounds of life began to take over. Across the street, Ida Goldstein stood looking at the sky.
Doesn't seem possible, does it, Edith?
It's too good to be real, Ida.
Look at the children. They're playing outside again.
You'll have to put up with Teddy's flute.
The sweetest music in the world. Do you know what I sometimes think, Edith?
What, Ida?
Sometimes I think that Arye died so that Teddy could play the flute.
Oh. Ida, forgive me. I wasn't thinking.
No. No, be happy. If Arye had to die, could he have died a better way? When I first heard, I cried out to God.
Of course you did, Ida.
But I was wrong, Edith. I didn't understand. I know clearly now it's right. We're small. We're only grains of sand. A big house can be built only out of small grains of sand.
I heard her, but did I understand? No, not really. Later that day, I was trying to get our garden into shape. I saw Jacob come walking down the street. I thought it was the truce that had brought him home so early. Jacob, I'm back here. Jacob, what's wrong? You look white as a ghost. Jacob, what is it?
Dina.
She's been wounded. She's... No!
a week later. I knew who it was even before I opened the door.
Shalom. I'm Al Brody. Dina's friend.
Shalom. Please come in. You can put your duffel bag down there.
Oh, thanks, Mrs. Hirsch.
Forgive me if I go on sewing, will you?
Oh, of course, Mrs. Hirsch. Well, that shirt you're mending, that must be Teddy's.
Yes. She was very fond of Teddy.
Yes. And of her whole family.
Did you spend much time together?
I only saw her twice, Mrs. Hirsch.
Oh.
She was a wonderful girl. I never met anyone like her. Why are you smiling?
That's what she wrote about you. It's what every young girl says when she's found her love.
I'm glad. I'm glad at least for that. I loved your daughter very much, Mrs. Hirsch.
Al, were you there?
Yes. Yes, I was there.
Will you tell me?
Please, I'd rather not.
It would help me to know. Al,
please, believe me, she... Well, she wasn't afraid. That's all I can tell you.
Was she in pain?
No. No, I'm sure she wasn't. Mrs. Hirsch, I can't talk about it. I think I'd better go.
No, please.
Stay. I can't, Mrs. Hirsch. I can't talk about it. Those are Dina's things in the duffel bag.
I knew they were.
Mrs. Hirsch. Mrs. Hirsch. Before I go, I just want to say that I think I know better now where Dina got her courage.
Oh, perhaps it's the other way around. Perhaps we draw our courage from her.
No, Mrs. Hirsch. I came walking down this street. I see what you've been through. You can take it.
Then why are you afraid to tell me?
All right. Maybe you deserve to know. Dina was in a jeep on the road when a plane came over. Her last words were to the jeep driver. Listen, Mrs. Hirsch. And listen carefully, because it's something to remember. It adds the whole business up.
What did she say, Al?
She said... Maybe she said it to all of us. Drive straight ahead. Keep going. Don't stop.
The words are as good in 1953 as they were in 1948. Sometimes even now we are tired. But we will drive straight ahead. We will keep going. We will not stop. Neither I, Edith Hirsch, nor my husband Jacob, nor Teddy, nor my daughter, Dina, who lives here on this quiet street.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address and 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Rose Halpern of New York City, acting chairman of the Jewish Agency. Mrs. Halpern.
You have just heard a deeply moving play about the courage and self-sacrifice of a young Israeli girl who gave her life that her people might live in peace and dignity in their own land. As I listened, the years rolled back, And I remembered my visit to Palestine in April 1948, just before the state was established. The road to Jerusalem had already been cut. The siege of the city had begun. I came back in July of that year, after the establishment of the state, when the armistice agreements had been signed, and went up to Jerusalem just after the lifting of the siege. I shall never forget those days when I renewed contact with the people and the land. Thousands of young men and women like Dina had fallen in the struggle for independence, but all over the country, in the cities and the villages, an entire people had stood firm in their faith, in their tenacity of purpose and of will. And now we are celebrating the fifth anniversary of Israel's statehood. 5 years are not much in the life of the nation, but these years, though they have been marked by difficulties and by sacrifices, have been made glorious by achievement. Israel looks back to great tasks already accomplished, to the doubling of its population, to progress in welding a homogeneous citizenry out of the newcomers, to the expansion of agriculture and the establishment of industry, to careful planning for the development of its natural resources. It looks ahead, too, to the attainment of economic stability, although it knows full well the hardships it will face along the way. In this, it hopes for the aid and support of well-meaning people everywhere. It counts particularly on the help that it must receive from the American Jewish community. We know that this help will continue, so that the new state of Israel can be strengthened as a democratic society, rooted in those ideals which we, as Americans, cherish so deeply. Israel wants peace, progress, and the good life, not only for itself, but for all the peoples of the Middle East, so many of whom still live in hunger, disease, and ignorance. Israel has no quarrel with any of its neighbors. On its fifth anniversary, it extends to them the hand of friendship and says, let us march forward together to a better life for all of our peoples. That, too, is our hope and our prayer.
Thank you, Mrs. Halpern. Our Eternal Light drama today, Quiet Street, was written by Mark Siegel, was adapted from Zelda Popkin's novel Quiet Street, published by J.P. Lippincott and Company, New York. Joan Tompkins was featured as Edith and Roger DeCoven as Jacob. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.